Bonjour, hi, and welcome to the 42 episode of All Around Azure. Today episode with Andy Morrell, an MVP, we'll talk about how you can run virtual conferences using Microsoft Azure. Before we jump into the VMs and the topic, I was asking a few questions to Andy. Let me share that to you.
And today with me, I have a very special guest because it's a Microsoft Azure MVP. MVP is for Most Valuable Professional. And this guy is a magician with VMs and he will share his secret with us today. So very happy to have Andy Morrell with us, right? Morrell, I'm pronouncing your family name correct?
Yep. You are, yeah.
So I mentioned you're a Microsoft MVP. What's your specialty? Because when you are an MVP, you need to have a specialty. I was an MVP before. My specialty was Azure, but your specialty is not Azure, even if you use Azure, right?
No, mine is developer technologies, okay. which basically means everything.
I thought it was my category, like, you know, Azure, that was like everything.
No, it's basically I consider the sort of developer technologies folks as the teachers, the people that sort of, it's this group of people that just do everything, all rounders, but promote development, promotes the development community and sort of push that forward. So for example, it's doing things with open source software, doing things with, like, I've been broadcasting on Twitch for 4 years now. So it's one of those things where that sort of led, and that's where I think the developer technologies group comes in.
When I was a boy, it was not clear for me what I wanted to do later. And that's why I'm asking to all my guests this question. When did you know you want to work in IT? What was your journey? Let's listen to Andy's answer.
I've always been a developer. So my uncle, who was also a developer, still is a developer. He turned up for Christmas. He was visiting the family when I was around about 8 years old. Uh-huh. And he turned up in his nice sports car. And I was like, oh, that's a nice car. What? And then he goes, yeah, I work for Oracle. So he worked for Oracle in a city in the UK called Leeds.
Okay.
And he worked there and did his development. I don't know exactly what he did. I still don't know exactly what he does when it comes to his. But he turned up in his nice sports car. And I was like, oh, excellent. But in that same year was the year I got my ZX Spectrum. And they were very much little programming machines. I mean, it was beside the Commodore. So the Commodore you could do programming on, but the Spectrum was very much, hey, you load it up and here's the programming language. You can just go. But at the same time we got that Spectrum, I got a book with a load of little programs in there that you literally had to rewrite from the book. There was no copying, pasting. There was no nothing. Nope. It was just like, copy this across. And that's where I started. And there may have been like times where I went, oh, I want to be a policeman, or I want to be a race car driver, yeah. Or
but an adventurer.
an adventurer. I want to do this. I want to do it. But they always came back in the end to development.
Oh, that's
cool. And that's where I've been sort of forever.
Oh, good for you. Okay, now let's jump to the topic of the day, the virtual conferences. So I will let Andy explain what's the problem or the situation is trying to solve by this project. Let's listen.
Basically, what we had was in April or March and April, the team that myself and Frank are on, the live coders, were putting on an online conference on Twitch. And we were hitting this big, like, so we were looking at, I think we ended up with 14 different speakers with talks up to 45 minutes each. The actual whole stream overall was 17 hours. We had graphics overlays. We had everything sort of there ready to go. The major problem was, how were we going to run this and from where? So for example, we had sort of Frank on one side, we had speakers from all over the world, and we had to amalgamate all their streams and all their talks into one stream and then push that to Twitch. We tried doing things like running systems locally, like from on my computer here. But the problem with that is you have internet service providers that don't allow things through firewalls, or they packet shape everything that comes into your system, and you just lose so much, and it lags, and there's so many variables that you can't. You just can't make a change for. For example, we had one of the live coders, Jitter Ted. He's in the Bay Area. When he connected to me, it was laggy. It was like frame by frame. One frame a second. It was really, really bad. And yet Clancy, who lives in Alaska, had no issues whatsoever. He connected straight through. It was fine. There was no jitter. There was no frame by frame. He was like crisp, everything straight through. And we were,
yeah,
everyone
and
was just like,
all those people have good connection also because they are live coders. So they are used to stream and stuff. Like, you know, it's not like if it was the first time and the person doesn't have a good connection or like doesn't know all the tricks to have to optimize inside their house and everything, the connection, like they know that those things, right?
Yeah. This was the thing. We were all the actual first set of speakers for the Live Coders Conference were all broadcasters themselves. We were all live coders and we were all just demoing what we were doing on Twitch, a lot of us. So there was a bit of ML, there was a bit of IoT, there was a bit of everything for everyone. Including the trolley problem, which was a very interesting talk by somebody else called Sad Moody, and that was a very interesting talk by him. So to cut a long story short, we were trying to sort of decentralize that, so it can't be me producing the whole stream from my local machine. So the idea was, what we did is we created a VM up in Azure, and it was just a Windows VM that we installed OBS on, so Open Broadcast Software. It's all open source. We just installed it and go, in some little ways. But what we hadn't sort of accounted for was things like people's connections again. And so we had some satellite servers. These satellite servers were where the speaker would stream to, and then that satellite server would then stream it into our broadcast box, and then from that broadcast box we would go to Twitch. So I'm going to take a step back a second as well, because I'm spewing out words and people are like, what are you saying? So when you broadcast from your PC to Twitch, you use a broadcast piece of software. The most common one and the free one that people use is OBS. As I said, it was Open Broadcast Software. Now, when you connect to Twitch, you can connect directly to Twitch to broadcast your stream. That uses a protocol called RTMP, which is real-time messaging protocol. And that is literally a push, here's some data, go. And Twitch does a lot of fancy decoding, transcoding, and sort of pushes that out to us, the viewers, like you're watching this stream from Frank's PC. What we wanted to do though is we wanted to amalgamate everyone's stream into a single stream. So the main VM, the broadcast VM that we created, was an OBS system. And that pushed a stream out to Twitch. So what we did is we had all the speakers broadcast their stream to that server. So so we had an RTMP servers dotted around the planet, which then rebroadcast that into the central system. It sounds overly complicated. It's not that, really.
Interesting, right? So let's learn now how we can get started to build that solution.
So yes, this is Ant, as in the little creatures, the little insects, and it's a media server. And what they do is you can do all sorts of, so you can actually push your RTMP stream to an Ant media server, and then it will push that out to Facebook, YouTube, and Periscope, for example. And that's their built-in thing. That's what they've built into this. So it's all there, ready for you to go, all set up for you, ready to go, and it's just perfect for the use case that we had. And the setup time that it would take me to build my own RTMP server with all the right SDKs and APIs, this was perfect. The one reason I chose Ant Media Server over Wowzer, because Wowzer is another option, and that's Wowza. This option, the Ant has their own API as well, so you can add stream keys. You can make sure that people are streaming to the correct endpoint, and you can actually check if an endpoint is live or not. So for example, if I gave you a stream key as a speaker and you said I was pushing my talk to that server, I can say, okay, that one's live. I'll switch the scene to that automatically. And it's got webhooks as well, which is there's that little extra thing that you need or wanted, and this has it. So that was the main one. So that's what I wanted to talk about on the RTMP side of things.
Okay.
So when it comes to the Windows Server side of things, for the OBS server, it's Windows Server 2016. You can use 2019. It was just that's the option that comes up for me. Now, what happens is where we go down to the size, we specifically want to go for an NVIDIA NV6. Now, you may look at the price of that
and freak out
and go, £640 a month. So you're looking at X number of dollars a month. I think the dollar mark is around about 750 a month. You are only using this while you're streaming, so for the conference. So the total cost of Live Coders Conference 2, that included 3 Ant Media servers and 1 broadcast VM, was under $120.
It's pretty cool considering the costs of a conference. It's nothing. In every episode, I like to introduce a Learn module. So Microsoft Learn is a wonderful place to get there and learn more, improve our knowledge, and become better. Of course, the module of today was VM related, but let's have a look.
So here it is. I had a look through the checklist down here earlier on, and
That's one module. Okay, so and I picked that one. I had that one prepared today because, like I mentioned many times, like I'm definitely not an expert in Azure Virtual Machine. I know them. I used them a lot, 5 years ago maybe, but not recently, not too much. So I think I will do that. This module, it's an hour, so maybe later today or this week. And the thing I like about that is it tells you about what time it will take. Then you have by little pieces, kind of all the path, it guides you. And there's also learning path that you could go and do, and those learning paths will be aligned to certification. So that's pretty cool. So if you are an administrator, of a network and stuff like that, you could, and maybe I think it's I see one here, the for Azure Administrator, the AZ-100-04.
Yes.
So like that's a certification, and like it will help you and have a learning path, and it's all the information you need to know to pass the exam. Really interesting, a 45-minute module that is part of multiple learning paths. If you want to dive and go into the details, here are all the links to the parts of the video you see. You could go see the uncut version of it, and also the link will for the Learn module and all the reference we did. All the links are also part of the description, and we have a blog post. Subscribe and click the little notification bell so you know when the next episode is out. And that concludes our episode. I will see you in the next one. Have a good day.